I want to read again a passage of Scripture in Mark chapter 10. And they brought young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But Jesus saw it, or when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. God takes delight in children, takes pleasure in them. One of the greatest gifts that he gives to husbands and wives is a child. Children are a heritage from the Lord, a gift from God. And being what we are and who we are, it's natural for us to want to dedicate our children to God. And thinking back of Hannah and Samuel in the Old Testament, 1 Samuel chapter 1, speaking about the dedication of Samuel to God and what a tremendous story that is. And so it is in the same way that Jonathan and Amberlee are bringing Natalie and presenting themselves first of all, and then Natalie before the Lord and for dedication this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 6, very important passage of Scripture, even though it's Old Testament. Verses 4 to 7 tells us, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently to thy children. And shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Then we already read of Jesus taking the children and blessing them. So important for us to teach our children. There's no higher calling for a parent than to teach our children to be wise sons and daughters, to bring joy to you as parents as they grow up to live wisely in Christ. The best thing that you can teach, Natalie, is the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 1:7 tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That basically says that successful application of all that Natalie learns will depend on her, first of all, learning to fear and follow God. And so the Bible and the church urges you as parents to love God with your whole being, with every ounce and fiber of your being, and to teach Natalie to do the same. As you love God and love one another, you will model before Natalie the wonderful love for God, and so that she will want that for herself. So today, Jonathan and Amberlee, by coming forward before God and His people, you are declaring your desire to commit yourselves and dedicate Natalie to the Lord. Is that correct? We cannot dedicate our children to the Lord until we have dedicated or committed ourselves to the task. So I'm going to ask you four questions and respond at the end. Number one, do you today recognize this child as the gift of God and give heartfelt thanks for God's blessing? Do you now dedicate your child to the Lord who gave her to you, surrendering all worldly claims upon her life in the hope that she will belong wholly to the Lord? Number three, do you pledge as parents that with God's help, as your Abba Father, to bring her up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord, making every reasonable effort with patience and love to build the Word of God and the character of Christ and the joy of the Lord into her life? And number four, do you promise, God helping you, to make it your regular prayer that by God's grace, Natalie will come to trust in Jesus Christ alone for the forgiveness of her sins and for the fulfillment of all His promises to her, even eternal life, and in this faith, follow Jesus as Lord and obey his teachings. We have grandparents here, and I get to be one of those. First time ever. And it's our duty as well, grandparents, in order for Natalie to walk in the fullness of life, that we accept the challenge and the responsibility to seek God's help to help Jonathan and Amberly, to pray for and encourage Jonathan and Amberly as they raise Natalie in the fear of the Lord. That it's our prayer and our goal that Natalie come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior at an early age. Once again, church, it's our responsibility also in this. We have a tremendous responsibility as a part of the body of Christ to teach the gospel story to our younger generation. And so we as well have a vow to take and to make that we, by God's help, will be faithful to our calling as a part of the body of Christ to help Jonathan and Amberly to be what we ought to be, to make it easy for Jonathan and Amberly to be faithful to God and to help them teach and to train Natalie in the ways of the Lord, that she will one day trust him, making it easy for her to get to heaven and hard for her to slip into hell. That's our responsibility. If you take on that responsibility this morning as a congregation, as a part of the bride of Christ, will you acknowledge it by saying amen? And so we dedicate little Natalie to the Lord this morning. Our Father in heaven, we thank you, first of all, for the life that you have given. And as we hold this little precious bundle, we're reminded of the heritage that you have provided for her, of generations of following after Jesus Christ. Help her to walk in that heritage as Jonathan and Amberly teach her and instruct her. Help her to love Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that you would take her hands and anoint them with your spirit, and take her feet and anoint them with your spirit as she is being brought up in the midst of a vile world around, that you would keep her clean and pure, her eyes and her mind, that you would protect and touch. Give Jonathan and Amberly the help that they need as they endeavor to instruct her in the wisdom and the fear of the Lord, I pray. Father, we give her to you, taking her hands off of all worldly claims of her life, and trust that you, by your grace and your mercy, will lead her and guide her, bring her into life eternal. We dedicate her to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we pray for your divine blessing and your divine touch today. In Jesus' name. Praise God. They are a treasure. And while I enjoy all of your kids, it is extra special to me today. Thank God for little Natalie. If for some reason that you have a picture of her coming to you on text or Facebook Messenger, it's just simply because I wanted to send it to somebody. Just because. So hopefully you'll bear with me on that emotional weakness, if you want to call it that. Usually after a dedication, I could share something along the lines of family, children. And the thought that's been going through my mind this week, even before we decided that this was going to be the Sunday to do this, looking out across the congregation, there's such a number of kids that I've had the privilege of dedicating. And I am honored beyond measure. 11 years, or less than 11 years of being here, Natalie is my 20th baby dedication. And what an honor. What an honor. Mason back there was the very first one. First one ever. Not just the first one here, first one ever. And what an honor it's been. But the thought that's been going through my mind is, when does the job of parenting stop? I suppose that any parent or grandparent that's here this morning is automatically going to say never. At least in general terms. Now, there are specific things that you probably will maybe change that on. The job of parenting is a great calling. It's a special calling. It's very important that parents, that we as parents, do our very best to teach our children the fear of the Lord, to bring them up in the admonition, the fear and the admonition of the Lord. And while I am thrilled at the representation of the heritage that Natalie has here this morning, and not in any way forgetting Kimberly's parents, and even remembering Warren's parents and the heritage that they too passed on. And coming beyond that, four generations represented. But that's not going to get Natalie to heaven. That in itself. Sometimes it's even can be looked at as a weakness or a hindrance, because we tend to focus on that and fail the present age. It's just as important for Jonathan and Natalie, or Jonathan and Amberly, to pass on to Natalie the doctrines and the heritage that they have received as it was for my generation to pass on to us. It's just as vital. It's just as awesome. It's vital for parents to teach their children the golden rule. Do we need to go over the golden rule this morning? Do all of our kids know what the golden rule is? Paul, do you know what the golden rule is? You probably know it, but you don't know it by the golden rule. I'm taking it. Have you had this? Okay. Do unto others. Do you know what that is? Yeah. I figured. And we could probably go back through a number of these kids here, and everybody has an idea or an understanding of the golden rule. Doing unto others what we want them to do. Whether they do it to us or not, we do unto others what we want them to do unto us. It's important, it's vital that we teach our children the golden rule. It's vital, it's important that we teach our children a good work ethic. We live in a day when that is lacking, greatly lacking. People don't understand a good work ethic. It's good, it's important, it's vital that we teach our children a good work ethic. It's important for us to teach our children the seriousness of eternity. We must teach our children the seriousness of eternity. Along with the seriousness of eternity, we need to teach them the principles of salvation and the principles of holy living. It's important, it's vital. But when does parenting stop? Does it begin to recede, the responsibility, does it begin to recede when the kid turns 13? Maybe it begins to recede, or it recedes a little bit further when they are 16. And then by 18, what about 21 when you know, by standards today, they're fully adult. Maybe it's not until they move out, or maybe it's not until they're married. When does parenting stop? Now, there may be some slight shifts in patterns or methods or styles at various points of the child's life, but it's still an important necessity. It's still vital for parents to continue to be parents all of our lives. All of our lives. What I'm driving at this morning, what I want us to get to this morning, is that we must build a wall about our children. We must build a wall of prayer around our children. We must build a wall of prayer around our young married couples. Because just because they start out well doesn't mean that they have arrived. Just because they show promise of spiritual success does not mean that they have arrived. You've heard the cliche or the little saying that it was the last straw that broke the camel's back. I've referred to it here before. It's not always the big, great big thing that hurts somebody to the point of turning away or becoming bitter. Sometimes it's just simply the last straw, the last thing, the last problem. It could very well be that the whole bundle of life is pressing in upon them, and then one simple, seemingly insignificant poor choice brings about consequences that are overwhelming. You know, poor choices in finances, poor choices in spiritual things, poor choices in medical things. It's broad. It's extensive here. The simple choice of staying out of church can hurt us, can hurt our next generation. The simple thing of not teaching our children to pray, you know, or one time failing to do something with our children in the spiritual sense can lead down a path. You know, it's just simply we must continue to parent the whole time. It doesn't mean that we remain their bosses. It doesn't mean that we can control all of their lives, but it does mean that we are there for them and that we are there as a parent to provide guidance and provide counsel when necessary, when needed, when asked for especially. You ever notice how it's sometimes just a very tiny wedge in a relationship that can destroy that relationship over time? Just something small. Just something insignificant. And we as adults can understand that. We can see that in somebody else. Maybe we've even experienced it within our own circle of friends or family. There's something small and something insignificant. And quite often, down the road somewhere, the people that are involved cannot even pinpoint what the exact nature of that wedge even was. Just know that there was a wedge there. There was some kind of a problem there. And down the road, it becomes very, very vivid with the separations in relationships. It could be something like a cross word spoken. It could be something in the nature of just a lack of wisdom with somebody's actions or somebody's words. Maybe something that I said that hurt somebody else that I didn't even know was there. I can take you to a case in point in my life in that very sense. I said something to some child, some kid at youth camp one time, and I did not know for years to come that I had hurt that individual. And I wouldn't know today if it wasn't for the parent of that child secretly telling me not to tell the child that they told me that that had taken place. I've done my best to go and straighten it up, but just something. And I had no intention. It's just that I said something and that person took it another way, easily took it another way. It happens. It happens. Bitterness doesn't just spring up suddenly because of some great thing that takes place. The New Testament actually speaks about bitterness as a root springing up. And so you and I understand a little bit about seeds and roots and growing. And it doesn't just suddenly pop up, except for these resurrection things around here. They pop up. You know, normally speaking, bitterness doesn't come as a great big bundle all of a sudden, but it could very well be the last straw. My hashtag from last Sunday or whenever it was so successful. Maybe I could put a hashtag there, hashtag last straw. Gets your attention. And I think that that's an important thing for us to remember. It's not the big things that may have hurt somebody, but it's the little things that have built up over time or the occurrences that have taken place that we begin to lose faith or lose sight of reality. What do you mean by losing sight of reality? Well, it's the last straw that was placed on the camel's back that broke it. It wasn't all of the other straws, but it was the last one. But really, it was the combination of all of them. Little things that add weight and add pressure. And in the midst of those little things that add weight and add pressure, we forget a very vital aspect of our Christian experience. Thank God for salvation. Thank God that He keeps us. Thank God that He cleanses us. Thank God that He never forsakes us. But there's one thing that quite often we fail to remember. And that is that all things, capital A, capital L, capital L, all things work together for good. It doesn't mean that all things are good. All things working together for our good. I heard a story a long time ago, but I was reminded of it this week as I listened to it once again. And I don't know that I have the exact details correctly, so if you know of the story and I'm not on detail, please forgive me. But a farmer had a horse that ran away. And the neighbor, speaking to the farmer, said, "Well, that's some kind of bad luck." And the farmer said, "Well, what do I know about such things?" Time went by, and that horse that ran away, a week or so later, came back with a half a dozen wild horses. And the neighboring farmer said to the farmer that owned the horse, said, "Well, that's some good luck." And the farmer said, "Well, what do I know about such things?" The farmer's son was out trying to work with the horses, the wild horses, trying to break them in the corral, working with them, when he took a bad kick and broke his leg. The neighbor said, "Well, that's some bad luck." And the farmer said, "What do I know about such things?" In just a few days, there was a group of men that came by forcefully recruiting able-bodied young men to their gang of bandits. And they saw the farmer's son laying there with a broken leg, a cast on, and they left him behind because he obviously wouldn't be of any value to them. And the neighbor said, "Well, that's some good luck." And the farmer said, "What do I know about these things?" He could have gotten bitter over the negative things and failed to realize the blessing of the good things. but simply because the bad luck, as the neighbor thought it was, that the horse ran away in the beginning, brought about the broken leg, the bad luck of the broken leg in the end, which ultimately led to his son not having to deal with the bandits. You see the little things positive here, the little things negative there. Jesus is telling us that all things work together. The ups and downs of life, all things work together. Certainly, the farmer was glad in the final analysis that his son had a broken leg. But it all began with, first of all, a negative, a downturn in their lives. But don't get lost by the sad day. Don't get lost by the apparent reverses in life. We trust his hand, knowing that all, capital A, capital L, capital L, all things work together for good. Don't get bitter over the negatives. Because his eye is on the sparrow, the songwriter said, and I know he watches me. See, what I'm trying to get at this morning is that there's many influences in our lives. Influences that can lead us ultimately closer to God or ultimately further away from God. Build a wall of prayer. Provide a wall of support. And connection until our last breath is taken and our heart stills. In other words, in the words of the Bible summarized, let's be the church. Let us be the church, working together for the salvation of souls, which includes our families, our young couples, and our children. Build a wall of prayer. Provide a wall of support and personal connection. And see our young people thrive and our children learn to serve Jesus Christ, even through the ups and the downs of life. May God help us. Would you stand with me this morning? I'm going to ask my mom, if she would, to dismiss us in prayer.